You're listening to Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. I know we hadn't been in the New Testament for a while, so Matthew's in the New Testament. It's on to the right. Matthew chapter 2 is where we're going to be. All the parents that came only to see the kids, y'all head out now. I'm not offended. It's okay. They came to the earlier service. Don't worry. They worship somewhere too. But turn to Matthew chapter 2 is where we're going to be, and we're going to look into the scripture. And last week I was gone. Peter Swan did a superb job. He did a great job of leading us last week. And as we were coming back from my wife's family, we were tuning in on the radio trying to find our church on the radio. I don't know if you know, but we are on the KHCB radio network. And so we're in Shreveport, we're in College Station, we're in Bastrop, Kerrville, all over the state. I mean, it's all over the place. So we were trying to tune in. And when we were tuning in, we got just in the spot where we were in between two different stations. One of them was our church and the sermon was just beginning. And the other one was a country and western station that was playing some songs. And I'm telling you, I couldn't make it up as good as it happened. We were there and it would go from the sermon to the country song. And the country song that was playing, what would happen is we would hear, God loves you, God is love, God wants you to love other people. And then we'd hear, yeah, heel toe, do-si-do, come on baby, let's go boot scooting. And then it fade back in, and Peter say, you know, when I was in a hut in Africa and these people were coming after me and I was praying, oh, get down, turn around, go to town, boot scoot and boogie, and it would just go. And it would go back and forth, and we're just listening. We're like, okay, Brooks and Dunn, we like, but, you know, we really want to hear Peter, and this is what we're doing. So I had to catch it online later on that night and watch the sermon online. And so as we're driving, though, and we're going back and forth from boot scoot boogie to talking about the things of God in the Bible, I thought that is exactly what our hearts are like with Christmas. We go back and forth from the holy to the mundane, from the wonderfully eternal to the something that's going to shrink by next year or break or be gone and out of style. Something that's amazingly profound to the silly. Literally today, you'll have your Bible in your lap at this moment, and you'll hear the Word of God being taught. And then in just a few hours, you'll have the Chronicle in your lap, and you'll have this much ads and this much news. And you'll sit there with a whole bunch of silly. Now, am I against stuff and ads? No, I'm not. That's not the point I'm making. But I'm saying that we go back and forth in our hearts on things that are incredibly profound about Christ being born into incredible silly, where it sounds like we're singing about a seasonal winter snowflake. And so in our hearts, we've got to say, Lord, we want to tune the station. We want to tune our hearts to the things that really do matter. We want to say, God, you are guiding us. You are directing us in an amazing way. And we're going to see that through these guys called the wise men. There was three wise men is what we think from tradition, but we really don't know how many wise men they were. We just know that there was three gifts. All of the realtors, all of the retailers should be happy about the gifts that these guys gave, because these guys gave gifts, and that is the model that we follow. That's why we run to the mall, is to do what these guys did in giving gifts to one another. And so in this, we have three gifts. Now, we know that they are wise men because the gifts were left unwrapped. Wise men do not try to wrap gifts on their own, gentlemen. Do you hear me? We stink at wrapping presents. Wise men let the people at the mall do the wrapping. Wise men give it unwrapped with just a bow on it. That's how it goes. So we know wise men were here because the gifts were unwrapped. Some of you are like, is this a joke? Yes, this is a joke at this point, is what this is. So they leave these gifts before Christ unwrapped as wise men would, and we see their hearts are focused in on the Christ child. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Here we go. Here's what it says. Then Herod called the Magi, that's the wise men, secretly and found out the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him as well. That's a fat lie. He's not going to do that. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Let's stop there. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Here come these men, these wise men. The star leads them to Jerusalem. They walk into the palace of Herod. And they say, where's the one that has been born king of the Jews? This is a little bit alike if somebody was to walk into your office and you were the CEO and they walked in and said, hey, I just wanted to know where the new CEO was. You'd be, wait a minute, I'm the CEO. I'm the accountant. I'm the marketing man. I'm the whatever. I'm the teacher of the third grade class. What do you mean, where's the new one? I'm the one. You'd get a little bit nervous. Well, that's what Herod got a little bit nervous. For 30 years earlier, he was declared to be the king of the Jews. And here comes these people saying, well, where's the king of the Jews? And he gets really nervous. He's nearing death. And Herod, here he is a very insecure man and is scared of a baby. Herod, throughout his time, he has killed his wife because he thought she was a threat. He killed his mother-in-law, his father-in-law, his brother. He killed his uncle. He killed all sorts of people. He had 10 wives, at least, we think of. Throughout what we can see, this man is a bad man, and he says, I want you to tell me where the worship is going to happen, and then I'm going to go worship this king of the Jews. But he's lying through his teeth. The wise men, though, they say, the star led us here to Jerusalem. They look and they see the star again, and now they head from Jerusalem, and they're going to go to Bethlehem. The star is guiding them, and verse 10 tells them this: the star brings them great joy. They are joyful that they have guidance from the Lord. God's guidance brings joy. God's guidance brings joy. How do you feel when you get God's guidance? Does it scare you or does it give you joy? Oftentimes, we're afraid of God's will. We step forward and we say, Lord, I want to know what you think, kind of, but I really don't want to know what you want to think. Lord, I want to obey you, kind of, but I don't really want to obey you all the way. It's too risky to be sold out to you. God's guidance brings us joy. If you hear the guidance of the Lord, say this, two words, thank you. Thank you, God, that you spoke to me through your word. Thank you that I know what you want me to do in morality. Thank you, Lord, I know what you want me to do in faith and in trust. Thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to my heart. Thank you, Lord, that you will speak to my heart. God's guidance should not bring fear. God's guidance should bring joy. Here these wise men are, and they are journeying with God, and they have great joy in their life. We rejoice in God's direction, but unfortunately, many people fear it. For the last 2 years, God has been directing our church. God has been guiding our church, not just for the last 2 years, obviously since our history, but particularly on this 2-year anniversary of our capital campaign. Be a part of the story. He's been guiding us through. We began by saying, Lord, would you bring $20 million in pledges to us? And God said, I won't only do that, I'll do even more. I'll bring $24.4 million. I want to blow you away with how big I am and how great I am. God has been guiding us. He guided our path so that here we are now in this renovated worship center with tools that we'll be able to use in worship and in the Christmas presentation this weekend to be able to say, Lord, you've given us these tools. Not only have we been able to do that, we've been able to improve the chapel and the fellowship hall. We improved and renovated the Christian Life Center, our gymnasium. The weight room is about to reopen and be even better than it's ever been. We've been able to do that. We've been able to do a whole lot of carpet, a whole lot of paint. Security improvements within our church. Security, unfortunately, is an issue in our day and age. So we've been able to have some great security improvements as well. We've been able to build a clubhouse for the kids. It's up on the third floor, way over there to my right. And what it is a children's worship area that has all the bells and whistles, neat things. When kids walk in, they're excited to come to church. They've already worshiped with hundreds of kids in the morning time or the previous time. They're worshiping again right now. It's amazing. God has directed us, and we've seen him do amazing things. It is incredible that we've already spent $500,000 on missions. And we're going to spend even more. And so at the end of it, we will have spent 10%, $2.5 million on somebody else besides us to reach out. What an amazing story to be a part of. He has directed us. I am so grateful for his direction. I was walking out of the Connection Center one Sunday, and this lady walked up to me, an older lady, and she didn't recognize me. I don't know if she didn't come to service or what, but she didn't recognize me and came up to me, and she said, I didn't know about this pastor when he first got here. I said, I didn't either. I didn't know if he'd do a good job. I tell you what, I wasn't sure either. I was a little nervous about it myself. but I've been looking around and things look really good around here. I said, well, I'll let him know, you know. She went on her direction, I went on my direction. But to be able to say God has directed and led us some things that we could not foresee, God has allowed us to do. And we have been praying and asking, Lord, what do you want to do with the extra $4.5 million? What do you want to do with that, God? How do you want to use that? And we feel like God has given us direction. Not just me, but lay people and deacons alike. As I told you, that we've had a study committee together of an architecture firm of deacons and lay folks and staff together, and to be able to say, what is it that we need as a church? Well, let me tell you what's been happening in our church. Do you know in the last 2 years of having our capital campaign, in the last 2 years, our church has grown by 1,400 new members? The average church in America is 70 to 90 people, and 1,400 more people have joined our church. The preschool ministry, which you just saw a portion of it singing, there to my right in that building right over there on the west area of our campus. Our preschool ministry has not been renovated significantly. The same floor plan has existed since 1977, but in the last 2 years, we've had 31% growth in 2 years. Now, we were ready for growth of 5% a year, 10% a year, maybe even a whopping 15% in 1 year. 31%. A spike. And that means those kids got parents and kids and other kids of different ages. And it's amazing what God is doing. So we had in the original budget of the capital campaign $750,000 that we were going to do a facelift in there. Was the architects began to look at it, it looked like that we were going to actually need $3 million to bring it up to current building standards. What a great, exciting opportunity before us. We've got more kids than we thought we were going to have to be able to impact for Christ. That's amazing. We've got more pledges than what we thought we could have. That's amazing as well. Do you know how many churches would love to have excess pledges in children? That is great. That is amazing to see. God has surpassed our goal. God has surpassed our goal, hear me, because he knew exactly what our need would be. The scripture tells us that he knows our needs before we even ask. So can you see the guidance of the Lord? Do you see the star going before us? The star for the wise men, it went and it was over Jerusalem, then it disappeared. Then it came back and went over Bethlehem. The star before us was, Lord, we want you to do great things on our property and with our church. And then it kind of disappeared in a sense for 2 years to be able to then come back and say, here's how I'm growing it and here's how I'm doing it. And I want you to see what I'm doing and how that's going to happen. So we got a choice. We could say, well, no, we're not into reaching kids. Well, that's nobody's heart. Or we could say, what do we do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to renovate the existing space, all three floors that are over there for children and for preschoolers. And we're going to build right next. It's going to connect, so it'll expand. We're going to build three more stories right there where the playground is. Playground will go out a little bit further. It'll be right next to the sidewalk by the west parking lot. And then we'll have three stories. We will add almost 14,000 square feet so that we could accommodate 216 more preschoolers in every Sunday school hour. We could accommodate 120 children in every Sunday school hour. It'll help move things around so that we'll be able to bless the adult space as well, the school as well, First Baptist Academy. Amazing things will begin to happen as we expand and step that out. That whole area then will be a very secure area for our children with new check-in areas, with better security over there. We'll have two indoor playgrounds so that kids walk in and go, I want to come to church. This place rocks. This is great. We want to be able to have classrooms that are usable and hallways that parents can be able to go down the hall with strollers. Everybody's got a stroller. So we want no more Graco collisions, okay, happening with the strollers. And so if you've been in there, it's very constricted. It's very small hallways. We want to have a place that we can have it be parent and kid friendly to the nth degree so that we can impact families and children for Jesus Christ, because the gospel's got to keep going down to the next generations to allow God to do his work so that we see our nation turn back to the Lord in ways that just amaze us all. So that's what we're going to go for. That's what we're going to do. And I'll tell you in a few moments of how we're going to do it. How are we going to pay for this thing? Don't worry. It's not a double dip moment for those that have already made pledges. I'll tell you how we're going to get to it in just a second. But I want you to grab this was in your bulletin. And I want to show this to you. And I want you to put it in your Bible in just a moment so that you can take this home and read it. On the front little cover, it was in your bulletin when you got it passed out to you at the front door. In the bulletin at the very front, it gives you the background of kind of where we are. 14 million has already come in. We have 10 million outstanding. And then I want you to open up to the centerpiece right here in the middle. The centerpiece is basically what I just told you. This center section will give you all the details about it. It says there are challenge. 31% growth. Hasn't been renovated since 1977. We have $750,000 allocated for a facelift, but it looks like it's going to be $3 million just to get it up to standards. This is also the most used space in our entire church. Do you realize that? Every Bible study class, if there's anybody with kids, that's where their kids go. First Baptist Academy uses it all week long as well. It's used every single day but Saturdays and sometimes on Saturdays. It is the most used space that we have. Our solution, we're going to renovate the current preschool suite in the first and second floors and construct a three-story expansion of the West Wing. The new construction we see to be costing $5.6 million is what it's going to cost. On the right-hand side, you have the pictures there of the little schematics. The bottom is the new and improved area. Just some basic thoughts on it. And then some of the benefits that we would have. We hope to begin construction fall 2010 so that we could step out and to be able to say, God, we want to use this and allow you to do your work. Allow you to do your work. The wise men followed a guiding star. The wise men said, we're on a journey. The wise men said, we're moving forward. But they also did something else. In the Bible, it tells us that they followed this guiding star. They were overjoyed with God's provision, God's guidance they were overjoyed with. And then it says in the next verses, they opened up their treasures and they presented them before the King, King Jesus. They opened up their treasures and they presented them before Christ. When we open up our treasures, we open up our abilities, we open up our resources, we open up our time. Do you know that the Bible mentions prayer 371 times? The Bible mentions love 714 times. And the Bible mentions giving 2,162 times. Because God knows if He gets our heart to give, we'll pray and we'll love. So God gives us this and they opened up the treasures. They opened up the treasures and what did they give? They gave gold, they gave frankincense, and they gave myrrh. Gold was to be given to a king. I hope this blows you away. Gold was a gift that you would give to a king. So they said, Jesus, you are the king of the world. Frankincense was something that you would burn and the incense would go up to God. It symbolized giving a gift to God. So I give a gift to a king of gold. I give a gift of frankincense to God. The way you would get frankincense is you would cut the tree and the sap would come down. You'd have to wait 3 months and the sap would harden. Then you'd take that hardened chunk of sap and you'd burn it. And when you would burn that, then it would turn into the incense that would go to God. So it came at a cost and it took time. So they gave frankincense to one who would be considered God, who was God. And then finally, they gave myrrh. Do you know what myrrh was? Myrrh was what you would anoint a body with. Hear the wisdom of these men. Gold to a king, frankincense to God, and myrrh to one who would die for their sins. The manger and the cross are connected. What a beautiful picture that we already see Golgotha. We already see the empty tomb. We already see Calvary through this cross or through this manger. And they open up this gold and incense and myrrh to the king. And then they continue to follow God's guidance. So we're on a journey and God's led us to this place to be able to say, Lord, we want to journey with you and we want you, God, to do your work. And for the littlest of the little and the smallest of the small, we want to help them. We want to step forward on this journey. So how are we going to get this done? Here's how we're going to get it done. And I want to be so, so clear because I really want us all to understand. I've been praying and asking God, fasting this week, asking God that he would just speak through me clearly. So that you would just grasp the vision. It's not bricks and mortar. It's not sheetrock. It's not metal and paint and carpet. It is connection with our smallest ones for the importance of Christ. Here's how we're going to do it. Number one, those of you, I want to encourage you, if you've made a pledge, to keep your pledge. I want to give encouragement. I want to celebrate as a church. What a great thing for us as a church. What an amazing thing to be overgiven on these pledges. I am so proud of our church. We have seen people step forward that have never given before, and they step forward and they've seen God take care of their every need. We've seen people step forward and say, I'm going to give this. And God said, I really want you to give even more. And they gave even more. And God provided for them, and they've never gone without. We've seen people that have given many times. Stretch. My family, we've stretched more on this. We've given more than we've ever given to anything else. Stretched more than we've ever given. And I'm telling you, in the last 2 years, we've never gone without. God has taken care of us. And so we've seen people stretch and go for it. And I want you to hear me loud and clear. If you have made a pledge to this capital campaign, we are not asking for a penny more from you. We are grateful. Thank you. All I am asking is that you would keep your pledge. If it takes 4 years because your business has been struggling, take 4 years instead of three. Keep your pledge. If all of us keep our word before the Lord and let our yes be yes, what will happen is $4.5 million will come in that will be extra. And $4 million of that will go to this preschool and children's space. $500,000 of it, or $400,000 of it, will go to missions, to be able to be a part of that. And so if you have made a pledge, as clear as I can say, this, I'm not coming for a double dip. Some of y'all, if I've been saying this, you've been like, okay, I know what's about to happen. Here we go. That's not what I'm saying at all. I am celebrating and encouraging and saying, yes, keep your pledge. I will keep mine. You keep yours, and we will see that happen. The second group of people I want to speak to is this. I want to make an invitation to the 1,400 new members to join the story through your pledge. Maybe you're new to our church, you've joined or you haven't joined, or you've been a member for a long time and you didn't make a pledge. This is a great story. This is a wonderful story. Be a part of this story so that when we look a year from now and our church is debt-free, and we're building out there, and we're seeing all this renovation, and we're doing all this with missions, and we're going to celebrate like you've never seen a celebration. You won't want to be slipping out to Luby's early. You'll say, I want to be there, and I want to celebrate because I'm a part of that story. So I want to invite those that have joined the church in the last 2 years, or those that have not made a pledge, I want to invite you to be a part of the story. That's what it means to be a part of a church. It means we're a part of it. It means we're a family. It means we step out together. Now, some young single might be saying, well, I don't have any kids. I don't really care about kids that much. I like them on a case-by-case basis, you know? I mean, you're talking about building something for kids. And, you know, I'm a young single. And, I mean, this is what it means to be a part of the church, to step forward and to let God do things. I'm going to share with you in just a moment the missions that we're going to give to. Jesus is for kids, and Jesus is for the nations. And people that are for Jesus are for kids and for the nations. It's just how it works. And so whether you have kids, you're an empty nester, or you don't have kids, you're single, join and be a part. Because your new pledge will also be a part of all the other things you're enjoying this worship center right now that somebody else paid for. Don't ride somebody else's coattails. You step in and be a part of it. We can't carry the whole load by ourselves. We need you. We need you. Now, some might be saying, well, are you saying in this economy, are you really talking about this? I'm saying the economy is boot scoot boogie, and being faithful to God is true Christmas. See, the economy is going to go up and down forever. And that's why God says, you know what? I have a tithe established. It's 10%. Just a guideline or a principle. So if you make $1 million this last year, you made $1 million, which I doubt if you did, but if you did, then tithe off $1 million. You made $100 last year, then tithe off $100. It works out perfect. It's not just a tax to the rich or to the poor. It's all of us coming together. And in this economy, we step forward to say, Lord, in faith, we trust you, and we put our first fruits, and we put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, and we let you do in our hearts, and we want to step forward. Just pray and ask God to lay a number on your heart. And when God lays a number on your heart and you see that star, be joyful. Be joyful of what he's done. Maybe the widow's two mites, maybe whatever. You just be joyful. See, it's not just going to help kids. Wise men on a journey to give. Wise men journey to give. That's what we do. We journey to give. And these wise men were on a journey. They wanted to give. They wanted to be a part. They wanted to give all of these things. See, what happened is we ended up with a time, or we end up with, we're not just doing this for kids, but we're also doing it for missions. Can I just tell you some of the places we're going to give money? So if your heart isn't touched by the children already, let me just tell you some of the places. This is the kind of church we are, that we get money to give money away. Tell me if this fires you up. Woodhaven Baptist Deaf Church. Did you know that we have a deaf church? They're a part of our staff. It's right off Long Point. So right now they're worshiping together, folks in a deaf church. So if you ever wonder why don't we have sign language people here, it's because we have an entire deaf church that they're doing that. And it's an amazing thing. It's better for their needs. We're going to help them resurface all their parking lots. We're going to build a new kitchen for them, get them new office furniture, a lighting system for their worship center. Do you see why that would be important? A projection and video equipment especially designed by the deaf. You and I are going to pay for that and we'll never use it. Praise the Lord for things that I pay for and you pay for that we never use. Grace Baptist Church, an air conditioning system in their education building, lighting, new kitchen cabinets and flooring, doors that were flooded in their education area, renovations we're going to do. North Central Baptist Church, a sanctuary, outside their sanctuary, painting and repair. Park Temple, we're going to repair their buses. I love this. We're going to repair buses. We're going to put on tires, air conditioning, transmission, belts, all those things to send buses into neighborhoods that most of us don't live in, to pick up kids we don't know, to take them back to a church to hear about the Jesus that changed our life. Oh, isn't that great? We're going to update a computer lab for them so their kids have the same opportunities your kids have. We're going to have their playground landscaped and upgraded and put a little retaining wall so the kids will be safe. Iglesia Baptista Melrose, we're going to renovate their church and their roof. We're going to plant churches right here in Houston. We're going to help a church in New Orleans. We're going to help a church plant in New York City. We're going to help a church plant in Boston. We're going to help a retreat center for the deaf that we're going to help them get back, get some things that they need. Internationally, we're going to purchase some land in India. We're going to have this land in India. I've seen it. We've already built a school from kindergarten through 12th grade. Your money's already helped to do that. And now we're going to buy the land right next to it. And now there's going to be a university that's going to be talking about Christ and teaching people with a fine education and great, great Christ-centeredness. Ghana, Africa, we're going to help a training center. We're going to help translate the Bible in languages that don't have it. Orphanage in Central America. Orphanages in the hospital and hospital care in Kenya. Orphanage in India. Bible distribution in Iran. We're going to help a ministry in Cuba. We're going to help Kenyan Baptist Theological College. We're going to help Aid Sudan Foundation, who Peter spoke from, that spoke last week. We're going to help give to the International Mission Board. This isn't just about kiddos. This is about the people of God saying, I'll step out. The way it gets done is you just keep your pledge, and if you haven't made one, you make one, and you say, I want to be a part of that story, because wise men open up their treasures. Do you see what's happening here in this Christmas story? Look, if you will, into verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they presented him with gifts of gold for a king, incense for God, and myrrh for one who would die. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. If you got a pen, underline by another route. By another route. This is crazy, but that is one of my most favorite Christmas phrases of the entire Christmas story. By another route. What a weird favorite phrase. Isn't that weird? Shouldn't it be something else? Here's why it's my favorite. The route of faith is different. The route of faith is different. When you and I connect with the true King Jesus, we walk away differently. We walk away differently. When we impact Christ and Christ impacts us, we don't vote the same, we vote our values. We don't date the same. We have different kinds of purity. We don't walk into marriage the same. We love our wives differently than the other guys at the office. We don't parent the same. Our goal is not for our kids to be able to hit a curveball, but to love God. So we say, if anything's taking away from your focus of God, we need to pull back a little bit. And so we do things differently because faith goes from a different route. So the church does really, really weird things like saying, we want four-year-olds to have a great experience. We want babies to have a wonderful experience. We want parents to feel the safety of dropping their kids off there. We want the next generation, not us, people that can't do anything for us. We want to bless them, and we're going to throw it out to India, and we're going to throw it out to Kenya, and we're going to throw it into Houston, and we're going to give people that don't have, and we're going to be a part of that story. It doesn't bless us individually every time, but blesses us in our heart. Wise men, they rejoice in the guidance of God. Wise men open up their treasures, and wise men journey differently. They worship instead of worry. They tune the station to heaven instead of earth. And they walk a different path. I want to close with this illustration, and then we'll be finished. There's a neat family in our church named the Kleins, and they are great, great folks. And they adopted a little girl from China. And I got an email passed through the email ranks, I guess, that finally ended up on my desk. And it was an email from the mom about this little girl in China, kind of telling the story, and this is what it said. We've seen our daughter come from not knowing what a mommy and daddy and our from not knowing what a mommy and a daddy and a family were, in an orphanage in China, to understanding that she belongs and is fully ours. I know that God will use that as he calls her to belong to her eternal family with him as her heavenly father. On Wednesday, we went through her scrapbook of bringing her home, and we went over each page and talked about each picture. And at the end, she looked at me and she said, Mommy, I waited and I waited and I waited for you to bring me home. There was a delay of about 6 months that they had to go through some different things that delayed that going and getting her and bringing her home. And here her mom is hearing the daughter say to her, I waited, I waited, I waited for you to bring me home. And then the mom continues and says this, today she went to preschool for a Donuts with Dad party. Steve and her two grandfathers escorted her. Steve and her two grandfathers escorted her. My heart swelled with joy as I thought of God's provision for her life. From a lonely crib in China to three men in her family standing by her side, she no longer has to wait. Do you have that picture in your mind of that little girl walking to Donuts with Dad and a bunch of bricks and mortar that you and I helped pay for? Then it follows, and her Sunday school teachers of that little girl replied back and said, we're your daughter's Sunday school teachers, and we want you to know how much we enjoy having her in our class. She's a very smart young lady and seems confident of what she says and does. It's precious to see how she always wants to pray in our pre-lesson prayer time. You're doing a great job at home teaching her about the Lord. Parents need encouragement too, don't you know? Keep up the good work. Jesus loves her, and so do we. That was from her Sunday school teachers. That's the vision. That's the story. It's not bricks and sheetrock. It's connecting people with people and people with Christ so that we see in this amazing story a little baby girl in a lonely crib in China now walking to Donuts with Dad with two grandpas and Dad holding her hand. I want to be a part of those stories. If you're already a part of that story, be faithful to your pledge. If you're not a part of that story, I know you want to. There's a commitment card in the pew rack in front of you. You could take that, pray over that, and then mail that back to the church. We need you. We need you. We have 4 million extra. It's going to cost 5.6. We got about 750,000 there already. So we're almost to 5, and we need new people to step up and make the difference. The most important thing, though, I have to tell you is this. Jesus Christ came in that manger. And we give as a church. If you don't know Christ, this is to show you why we give. We give because Jesus gave us so much. All we could do is open our treasures to him. If you are a believer in Christ, Receive that gift deeper than you ever have. Understand that gift than you ever have. I don't want this to just be a fundraising message. I want you to understand Christ is there in the manger and wise men come and worship. Let's be those kind of men and women. Kind of men and women. Kind of men and women. Kind of men and women.